pardon of sin. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, one working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, one working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, 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 one working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, 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 one working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, 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 one working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, 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 one working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
You may be seated. That's good singing. Let's go to God in prayer at this time. Who has any special prayer request on their heart tonight? Anybody at all? Brenda Cole. Yes, Gina. Okay, Gina. Dwayne.
Just remember Eddie Barnett. He's the owner of 71. I just found out that he's in the hospital and I'm doing
well. Okay, remember that. Anybody else tonight? Cindy.
Susie's families ain't less.
Susan families ain't. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yes.
New refrigerator, my big diagnosis.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Dwayne, you come on up, pick up our Sunday night offering, if you don't mind. Jimmy, would you mind to help him tonight? Thank you. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for tonight's service already. You're so good to us. Bless us every day of our lives. We've deserving a whole lot more than what we should have, Lord. Lord, we pray tonight for the service. We pray that if anybody be here tonight that doesn't know you as Savior, this would be the night that accepts salvation. And Lord, for our church in general, we just pray for each and everybody here. That, Lord, all our hearts is where they need to be, and that we honor you and praise you every day of our life. For this offering, may it be used for your honor and your glory, and we'll give you all the praise in everything that is sung and said here tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. In your book, 404. You can remain seated. We're going to do two verses of Heavenly Sunlight tonight. Great song. Walking in sunlight all of my journey
over the mountains, through the deep veil. Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee. Promise divine that never can fail. And heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I'm rejoicing, singing his praises. Jesus is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above. Bringing his praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I'm rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine.
You're glad Jesus is yours. Amen.
Oh, there it is. It's amazing what one little switch can do back there, isn't it? Y'all blessed?
Amen.
Blessed to be here, right? Yeah, we are. I have a little bit bigger blessing than you do. I have a pack of seeds for smooth cucumbers, and I can't wait to plant those things this year and see. Jimmy brought me those. I think he wants me to grow them and give them to him because he said he didn't have any luck with them.
Oh.
Well, we'll make it happen, Jimmy.
Every old saying, reap what you sow.
That's right. Joe, you're good. Okay, a couple old songs again. I do old songs because I'm old. They just fit. They do. And I think you'll know this first one. If you do, you can sing along with it, okay?
My Jesus knows when I am lonely. He knows each pain, he sees each tear. He understands each lonely heartache. He understands because he cares. My Jesus knows just what I need. Oh yes, he knows just what I need. He satisfies and every need supplies. Yes, he knows just what I need. My Jesus knows just what I need. Oh yes, he knows just what I need. He satisfies and every need supplies. Yes, he knows just what I need.
Isn't that the truth?
Amen.
It is. This next song was one that my son seemed to like back a few years ago before my wife Kay passed away, because this song mentions my wife in it, and it's still true today, just because Kay's not here. this song is still true. We had 57 years of being with each other and praying for each other and going to church and serving. She served in every capacity there was in the church except here behind the pulpit. And Tom says I couldn't let her come back here. But it's a good song. Hope you enjoy it. Listen closely. I've got a house to keep me warm, to shelter me from storm. Yes, I am one blessed man. I've got a wife who holds me tight and who prays for me at night. Yes, I am one blessed man. These are a few of the blessings that I have known. If I had time, I could go on and on. I've got children and grandkids, and I don't know what I ever did to be what I am. One blessed man. I've got Jesus in my heart, and I know he won't depart. You know I am. I'm one blessed man. These are a few of the blessings that I have known. If I had time, I could go on and on. Now if someone says to you, who's that man? What does he do? Just tell him I am. I'm one blessed man. 'Cause that's who I am. I'm one blessed man. Oh, I'm so blessed. I'll have to do it again sometime.
It's a wonderful job singing by Preacher Dan, and I know they blessed my soul, and I think they blessed your all soul too, and I'm especially thankful that he did remember he was singing tonight too. That was good too, but those songs were great. But it is good to be back out to God's house tonight and good to feel His wonderful presence. We're going to be in Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25 tonight. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25. And I hope everybody's had a good day today. I know that me and my family have. And something that I have picked up on, becoming a dad and getting into your 30s, is you can't eat the way you used to eat and stay the way you used to stay. And I really do hate that because I love to eat. And I do. I love food. And I'm not ashamed to share this story one bit. I don't care that it's live. And I don't care to share it with you all, okay? I'm just going to be 110% genuine myself. But we was getting ready to come to church tonight and had my shirt on, had my tie on, had my jacket on, had my shirt tucked in, had my shoes on, had my belt on. and was walking through the bathroom, getting ready to come through the bedroom and go into the kitchen, and all I could hear was ding, and the button had blew off of my pants. Shot across the bathroom, shot across the bedroom. I'm glad Lene or the kids wasn't in there. They might have been a bad injury in that room, okay? So then I put on another pair, which was the same exact size as that pair. Well, I was in misery all the way to Johnson City. I said, Lene, you're going to have to go in Walmart and get me some pants that fit. So she went in Walmart and got me some pants that fit. So I've got them on right now, okay? But I need some help. I need to, you know, all we eat is McDonald's and Burger King and, you know, this junk. All Ellie wants is chicken nuggets and French fries and sausage and pancakes. And don't get me wrong, I love that style of food. Love it, but it don't love me anymore, okay? So I've got some work to do on that, but it is good to be out. And I wouldn't just share that story with anybody. That shows how comfortable I am with you all, okay, that I was willing to share that with you all right? Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25, this is the parable of the Good Samaritan. And this is one of my favorite parables, and I got to, God gave me an opportunity to preach this parable at a dear lady's funeral about 3 weeks ago, and it described her life to a T. And I was praying and hoping that God would allow me to preach this here at some other church sometime, and He's allowed for it tonight, okay? So we'll just read these verses one at a time and go directly into what God wants us to share. But this is the parable of the Good Samaritan. Luke chapter 10, verse 25 says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, when the Bible says lawyer right here, that means scribe. That is somebody that is well educated. That is somebody that can read, and that is somebody that can write. And back in during this day and time, not everybody could read and not everybody could write. So this would be one of the educated members of society during this day and a time. So this scribe, this lawyer, no doubt is a Pharisee, and this parable is asking, well, not this, we've not got to the parable yet, but he's asking Jesus here. He says, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" But before that it says he was tempting him. The Pharisees and the scribes and the religious leaders were constantly tempting Jesus, trying to get him to break law so that they could accuse him of being guilty and do away with him. They were constantly trying to find cause, and they were trying constantly to find reason against Jesus. But you know what? They never could. They never could find cause. They never could find anything wrong with Jesus. And when you even read about him standing before the, when they came and arrested him in the garden and things like that, they did that trial at like 3 o'clock in the morning where everybody wouldn't know about it. They tried to keep it hidden. They tried to keep it in secret, but it wasn't much of a secret that time. But I'm thankful tonight, praise God, that we serve a perfect Savior. Amen. He came into this world and he sinned not. Listen, if Jesus would have came into this world and sinned, his work at Calvary would be in vain. It would be absolutely worthless. Us coming to church would be absolutely worthless. Reading our Bibles would be worthless tonight. Praying would be worthless tonight. But praise God tonight, Jesus lived a perfect life. And because that he did, hallelujah, we're not doing any of this in vain tonight, praise God. But we can enjoy it, praise God. And how thankful that we all can be for that. But this scribe asked him, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So Jesus turns it around on him and he basically says, "Well, why don't you just answer your own question?" That's what verse 26 means. He said unto him, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" In verse 27, this man answers Jesus and he says, "And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as himself." So no doubt this scribe, this lawyer, this religious leader, he knew the Old Testament law inside and out. Yeah. But listen, you can know the Bible inside and out, but if you don't know Jesus in your heart, that don't mean nothing. Amen. That don't accumulate to anything. The smartest person, and that's probably the most terrible word to use, but one of the... let me just say an individual. It was a professor that I had at ETSU. knew the Bible inside and out. He would use it every day. He taught his world history class. He would bring up the Bible and he would bring up scripture. So I started pulling up my Bible on the phone to see if he was right. Man, he was quoting them verbatim just like that. But he was an atheist. Knew the Bible inside and out. Knew the Bible, but didn't know God. Man, that's a sad situation to be in. What's best? It's best to know God, then you can really know the Bible. You can't know the Bible really without knowing God. And when you get to these things here in verse 27, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. You know what tonight? We cannot really love God until we accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. We can try as hard as we possibly can, but we are never really going to love God to our full potential until we are saved. It's the same way with our neighbors. It says right here, to love thy neighbor. Well, you know what? You ain't really going to be able to love your neighbor as you love yourself until you have Jesus living inside of you. Listen, Jesus left the splendors of heaven and came into this sin-cursed world to die on the cross for our sins. We were the neighbor that was in need. Our filth, our righteousness was filthy rags, but by His stripes, praise God, we have been healed. I can't think of a better neighbor than the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't think of a better friend than the Lord Jesus Christ. I love Lacey and Dustin, some of the best friends that I've got, especially because Lacey makes great deviled eggs, and now Dustin can smoke the Boston butt just about as good as anybody. Man, that's awesome. I love having friends that cook. I know that's kind of funny, but I tell you right now, as much as I love Lacey and Dustin, they're not better than Jesus. As much as I love Dan. Dan's been here for me during a very hard time, for me and my family. But man, the love of Jesus is greater than that. The love of God is greater than that. I love you all, and I know that you all love me tonight. But man, where does that come from? Where does that unconditional love come from? We can't have unconditional love unless we've got God living inside of us. And Jimmy and Angie too. Jimmy, it thrilled my soul to see you take up the offering. I had like a 25-year-ago flashback when I saw that doing that, okay? Verse 28, and he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. And then verse 29, this is where it gets really good. It's all good, but this is where it gets really good. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? So Jesus, we got to love you. We got to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and all of our mind. And we got to treat our neighbor as ourselves. But who is our neighbor?
Everyone.
Amen. It's easy for me to help Dustin if he's in trouble. It's easy for me to help Lacey if she's in trouble. It's easy for me to help you all if you're in trouble because I like you all. I love you all. I know you all. But am I going to go out here and help somebody that don't go to church? Am I going to go out here and help somebody that doesn't have the same beliefs that I do? Am I going to go out here and help somebody that doesn't have the same morals as I do? The Bible says that Jesus, that God is no respecter of persons, and we shouldn't be either. Whatever I would be willing to do for Lacey and Dustin or Jimmy and Angie or anybody in this church, I better be willing to do it for somebody I've never even met before, praise God, because that's what being a good neighbor is all about.
Amen.
That's what being a good, and that's something that this world has lost sight of. I swear. And I'm not ashamed to say this or anything at all, but I swear I think politicians from both sides just sit in a room all day and find a way to argue with one another. Nobody knows how to be a good neighbor anymore. Nobody's looking out for anybody anymore and things like that in the day and the time that we're living in. And man, it's just sad, ain't it? It's sad to see how selfish people have gotten. And COVID has a lot to do with that. Listen, there's a lot of residual effects to COVID besides sickness that's still going on today. And I don't even like to say that word. I think it's a bad word. I think COVID's a bad word. I don't even like to say it. But man, there's still some effects going on from that today. But man, let us never forget to be a good neighbor to somebody in need. Whether or not we know them by their first name, whether or not we know them by their last name, even if they're not in our cell phone as their contacts, even if we're not Facebook friends or Instagram friends, it don't matter. Be a good neighbor to whoever God puts in your life. This lady that I preached her funeral a few weeks ago, let me tell you something about her. She raised three kids. She was going to be 90 years old this coming up month. She raised three kids. She had outlived two of them. when she was 75, she adopted her great-granddaughter because her mom and dad wouldn't have anything to do with her. Man, you talk about being a good Samaritan. Imagine being 75 years old and saying, I'll be your mom. I'm 33 years old and raising two wears me out sometimes. I couldn't imagine being 75 years old and raising a little child up to being a teenager. Man, that's what being a good Samaritan is all about. Thank the good Lord for it, okay? And so Jesus gets into the parable here, and Jesus answering and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. So Jesus in this illustration, Jesus in this parable is saying a man is walking from Jericho or Jerusalem to Jericho, and he falls among thieves. And these thieves strip all of his clothes off of him, and they wound him. They beat him half to death. They leave him for half dead. Listen, that is an illustration of Satan. That's exactly what Satan does. The Bible says that the devil is here to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's what he's doing today, and that's what he's going to be doing until the good Lord comes back to get every single one of us. Satan is killing, he is stealing, and he is destroying. He's destroying people's lives right now. He's destroying young people's lives right now. He's destroying people through depression and anxiety and worry. He's destroying people through unmarital sex and drugs and alcohol and all of these things that are in the day and the time and the world that we're living in and things like that. He is destroying the youth of the world. Not our country, the world. I see it every day. Talking to these kids online, and when the high school kids come in, I see what a lot of the, and I teach online, but you know the main reason a lot of the guys are online is because they got their girlfriend pregnant and they had to get a job. Now let me say something. I applaud them for going and getting a job. That is great. But they shouldn't even be having to worry about things like that right now. They shouldn't. But man, that is the day and a time that we are living in today. We are living in a day and a time where Satan has got the world so perverted and the world so messed up that there's certain people that believe that it's okay for a third or fourth grader to pick if they want to be a boy or a girl. Now that's the truth. I taught third and fourth grade, and I'll tell you right now, if the boy says over here that he wants to be a girl, the half the boys are going to say they want to be a girl because just they want to do what little Timmy did. They don't know what they're doing. They're third graders.
That's right.
They don't. You ask them what they want for lunch. The first kid that says peanut butter and jelly, third grader, I guarantee you 15 more is picking peanut butter and jelly. That's just how they react. That's just how they respond. But that is the day and the time that we're living in. I'm going to say this too. About threw my TV out in the yard. Ellie loves Disney. I like Disney too. I love The Lion King. Dan let me sit up here in this big chair. I felt like Simba. He's Mufasa and I'm Simba. I felt like I was Simba when he let me sit. I was like, are you sure I can sit up here in that chair? I did. I felt like Simba. Somebody give me a baby and I'll hold him up like this, okay? Just like the movie. But you know Disney now is really pushing putting homosexual couples in their movies. Disney is really pushing right now. And we had it on the TV the other day. Something Ellie likes to watch because it's got a dog in it. I couldn't tell you the name of it. I just know Ellie likes to watch it because it's got a dog in it. Well, I came across a scene. It was yesterday or 2 weeks ago. Yesterday, 2 weeks ago, same thing to me. Had two boys holding each other just like this and rubbing their heads together just like this. Anybody with any brain knew what that meant, that they were in love with each other. You tell me Satan ain't trying to rob and steal and kill the youth in our world today? Yes, he is. He's after them. He's after them through Disney and he's after them through social media. I have nothing wrong with social media. I've got a TikTok. I think TikTok is hilarious. I'm not ashamed to say it. Lene will send me several throughout the day and I'll laugh. I'll send her several throughout the day and she'll laugh. It's a good way for me and her to make each other laugh. Nothing wrong with that.
That's right.
But it's also a network for where young people can get on and bully others and nobody knows what's going on. I'm here to tell you right now, 90%, and I can't speak, but I can speak for Carter County Schools, 90% of the bullying that's going on inside of Carter County Schools, it's not happening at school. It's happening via social media at night, and then when they come to school, they're ready to fight each other over something that happened on social media. Now, that's the truth. That's the day and the time that we're living in. But praise God, and I know I'm getting off this a little bit, but God's leading a little bit a different direction, but praise God, the Bible tells us to raise our children in God's house. Amen. To have our kids in God's house so that they can see a light, so that they can be a light to a lost and dying world. Yep. You know, we can look at this world and say, man, I don't want Ellie or Addie to grow up in this. I don't want Canaan to grow up in this. I don't want Gideon to grow up in this. We can look at our teenagers in the church and say, man alive, I wish my child wasn't having to grow up in this day and time. But I want to tell you something right now. What an opportunity for the young people of Liberty Fellowship to be a light to a lost and dying world. What an opportunity for Liberty Fellowship, us as a church, to be a good Samaritan to a lost and dying world. To be a good Samaritan to the kid that's getting bullied at the playground. To be a good Samaritan to the one where churches frown upon them because they look poor and things like that. To be a good Samaritan to the individual that's never caught a good break in life. Yes, I know that God's wrath is real, and I know that God's judgment is real, and God's wrath is going to fall one day. But I want to tell you right now, praise God, let's take as many people to heaven with us as we can.
Amen.
And how do we do that? We got to be good Samaritans. The best message ever preached is a message of a good Samaritan. Y'all hear a lot of preaching. Y'all have heard Dan for a long time. Excellent preacher. I never really got to hear Dan much. I knew Dan a long time, but I never really got to hear him until I started coming here. Dan is an excellent preacher, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. And I love the way God uses you. Thank God for it. But I tell you right now, for people that don't go to church, you're the message they see every day. So you be a good Samaritan to them, okay? Left this man half dead. Took everything from him. He's wounded. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. A preacher. A preacher comes walking down the street. And when he saw him, how many of you run the other way when you see the preacher come walking down the street? Anybody run the other way? My kids, I used to teach, if it was a mean kid, if I saw them at Walmart and they saw me, we made eye contact, they took off running the opposite direction because they were scared to death I was going to talk to their mom and dad about how mean they were at school. I never would do that. There came a priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So when the priest saw this individual that was wounded, when the priest saw this individual that had been robbed, when the preacher had saw this individual that had been left for half dead, let's imagine he's walking down this side of the street and he sees him back there and he's like, well, I don't want to get caught in that, so I'm going to walk on this side of the street and walk right by him. Man, I'm thankful. Praise God. And I'm doing this to praise God and I'm praising Jesus. But I'm thankful that God has called good godly men to be preachers and pastors that don't walk to the other side of the street.
Amen.
But they walk down the side of the street where the person that needs help is.
That's right.
Thank God for it. Now don't get me wrong. There's some preachers that say they're preachers that's in it for the wrong reason. The Bible says it will be like that. To beware of false prophets, to beware of wolves and sheep clothing and things like that. There are ministers that have the title of minister or have the title of preacher, but they're not really a preacher. But I'm thankful for the true God-called men of God that preach and proclaim God's eternal word. How thankful we all need to be for them.
Amen.
So this preacher ignored him. Got on the other side of the street. He didn't want to be inconvenienced. I got somewhere I got to be. I got to get home. I got to eat supper. I got to see my wife. I got to see my kids. I've been studying all day. I've been doing this all day. I've got to get somewhere. That's how the devil wants all of us to think.
Right.
Verse 32. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. So the Levite sees this individual that's been mugged. That's what's happened. He's been mugged. Says, I don't want anything to do with that. So the Levite goes on the other side of the road. Why? He did not want to be inconvenienced by this trouble that laid down the road. Take time out of your lives for other people. It's, listen, I can honestly say I've been this priest and I've been this Levite before. I've seen somebody in need, but I've had a bad day and it's been busy and I've not seen my wife and I've not seen my kids all day, and all I want is Ellie Bell come running to me and give me that big kiss on the cheek like she does. I'm not going to lie. I have been this priest. I have been this Levite before. Say, man, things are just too busy right now. I can't help this individual out. You helping that individual out may lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Be a good Samaritan. Okay? But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, verse 33, came where he was, and when he saw him, had compassion on him. He saw him as what he was. He was a half-dead man, beaten half to death, had wounds, been stripped naked. All of his raiment had been taken off of him. But you know what? This good Samaritan right here met him where he was at, and he was going to help take care of him. So what does this good Samaritan do right here? And the biggest word right there in verse 33 is compassion. Listen, and this is where the world gets this mixed up. You can have compassion for somebody that is lost and not agree with the way that they're living. The world today says you got to have compassion, but the only way you can show compassion, if you will let the way that they, and I'm not talking about sin. I know this isn't talking about sins right here, but God's just laid this on my heart and on my mind. We can have compassion for the world and not be in agreement with how they're living. That's what compassion is, but that's not what the world wants today. The world says, well, the only way that you can have compassion is if you will accept their lifestyle.
No.
What does it say in God's holy word? Do not conform, but be you transformed.
Yeah.
Praise God. So we can show compassion to a lost and dying world without agreeing to their lifestyle. But that wasn't why this individual was in this situation, in this parable that Jesus is sharing. So what does the good Samaritan do? He shows compassion on him. Verse 34, and went to him and bound up his wounds. What did he do? He started tying up his wounds, putting gauze pads on them to modern day, or some band-aids on it, some bandages and stuff like that. He started wrapping up his wounds. What another thing he started to do? He started pouring in oil and wine, cleaning them, sanitizing the wounds so that the infection wouldn't set in. I got to thinking, I'm thankful for the times Jesus has came down in my life and cleaned up my wounds. I'm thankful for the times that Jesus has came down in my life and wrapped me up in some bandages. I'm thankful for that, praise God. Good illustration of that, I never will forget. I was outside playing basketball one day, and we've all done this before. I was outside playing basketball one day on concrete, scraped my knee up real bad, 8, 9, 10 years old. I was crying. It was full of gravel and things like that. There comes Mom. She ain't here tonight. I wish she's here for this. There comes Mom. Picks me up and carries me into the living room. Gets a pair of pliers out, starts picking them gravels out one by one. Then she starts sanitizing it. Then she puts something on it to make it feel a little bit better. Then she wraps it up in a bandage. Man, how thankful I was that my mom took care of my wounds on that day. We could probably all look back at our lives when mom or dad, when we failed, when we got a scrape, when we got a cut, when we got something wrong with us or something like that, they come and wrapped it up the wounds and made them feel better. God does the exact same thing, don't he? Sees the wounds in our lives. He comes down and says, hey, I got you. I'll take care of you. I'll make you feel better. I'll lift you up. I'll encourage you. Well, that's what the Good Samaritan was doing for this individual right here in this parable. Jesus Christ does the same thing. How thankful that we can be for that. So not only does he take care of all of his wounds, and not only does he try to sanitize him so he won't get infection and things like that, but he puts him on his own beast. Gives him transportation. This good Samaritan right here, he wasn't doing a half a job. He wasn't saying, well, I got your wounds taken care of and now I don't think you're going to get infection, but you're going to have to figure out how to get somewhere to stay tonight. No, the good Samaritan was doing the whole job. Well, glory to God, are you not thankful that God did the complete job? That Jesus did the complete job. Jesus didn't die on the cross and say, okay, you're by yourself. Jesus didn't die on the cross and raise on the third day and say, okay, you're by yourself. No, he said, as I ascend into heaven, so that the great comforter can come down to lead, guide, and direct you.
Amen.
Praise God for it. Amen. Jesus did a complete job. God did a complete job. The Holy Spirit does a complete job. So when we are going to be a good Samaritan for somebody, do a complete job. Don't do it halfway.
Amen.
Brought him to an inn to take care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host. Paid for the guy's stay at the hotel. And said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. He's taking care of everything. He's taking care of his debt. Man alive, I'm glad that Jesus is taking care of everything. I'm glad that God is taking care of everything. I'm glad that the Holy Spirit has taken care of everything. We can sure things as good as we possibly can in this world, but because it's us shoring them up, it's still not 100% guarantee. But praise God, when God shores something up, it's 100% guarantee. When God shut the door on Noah's Ark, God shut the door himself. He sealed them in there. They didn't have to worry about dying on that ark. Why? Because God shut the door and God was going to do a complete work. Praise God, we don't have to worry about going to heaven. Praise God, God's going to get us there. God's going to get us there. I don't have to book a flight, praise God. I don't have to get a travel agent, praise God. And you know what's going to be great? Sometimes when you go flying, you get there and you get in the waiting area. I don't know what it's called. I want to say waiting room, but that's what a doctor's office or a hospital. But you get there and you wait, and they say, delay, 2 hours. Whew, I'll tell you right now, when Jesus comes back to get to church, there ain't going to be no delay. Praise God. He's not going to be in the sky and say, well, you're going to have to wait 2 hours. There's some clouds over here. There's some storms over here. There's some rain over here. There's some lightning over here. That got me to thinking, I hope Jesus comes back in a thunderstorm. I'd love to be flying in the air and lightning be going by me. That'd be so cool. I'd love that. Jesus does a complete job. Verse 36. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighboring to him, fell among the thieves. So Jesus asked him a question here. He asked this lawyer, he asked this scribe, you tell me who was the neighbor in this story. Was it the preacher? Was it the Levite? Or was it the Samaritan? I forgot to point this out, but I'm going to point this out right now. The Jews considered Samaritans to be foreigners. They considered Samaritans to be idol worshipers. They didn't like Samaritans because they didn't follow the law that the Jews were supposed to follow and things like that. And I'm glad God reminded me of this. But to that Jew, to that Samaritan, when he saw that Jew needed help, that didn't matter. That didn't matter. And sometimes that's the hardest things to do. Like I said earlier, it's easier to help. It's easy to help people you love. But God wants us to help everybody that we possibly can. No matter whether or not they agree with us or not. That's not the guidelines from God for us to be a good neighbor. Well, you've got to agree with them to help them, or you've got to like them to help them. No, that's not the requirements of God. If that was the requirements of God, man alive, we'd all be hopeless tonight. We would. We'd all be hopeless tonight. But man, I'm thankful that it's not. Verse 36, when now which of these things thinkest thou was neighboring to him that fell among the thieves? So the lawyer answers. That lets you know Jesus is good. When he can get a lawyer to be quiet, that lets you know how smart and how great that Jesus was when he was teaching. Verse 37, and he said, this is big right here, he that showed mercy on him. So the lawyer, the scribe, this very educated Pharisee says right here, the good neighbor was the good Samaritan. Not the preacher, not the Levite, but it was the good Samaritan. And then Jesus said unto him, and this is the commission to all of us. Jesus is not just saying this to this lawyer right here. He is saying this to us right now. Go and do thou likewise. God has given us all a mission tonight. Many missions. But one of them is be a good Samaritan. And I promise you, God will put people in your lives that you can be a good Samaritan to. Promise you. You may not even know who they are right now. You may have never even met them before. You might not meet them till Tuesday of this week. Tuesday of this week may be the first time you meet an individual that God wants you to be a good Samaritan to. You may not know nothing about them. You may not even know their name. It don't matter. It don't matter. Be a good Samaritan anyway. Because at the end of the day, all that matters is winning souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. All right, stand to your feet. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. I don't feel led to give an invitation tonight, but that's what God has laid on my heart and on my mind. Dan, is there any announcements we need to share or anything?
Get us back here Wednesday night.
Yes, get back here Wednesday night. Zachariah has been great. I've been getting a wonderful blessing out of it, and I know that everybody else has too. So don't forget services Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, okay? Yeah, Les. Okay, first business meeting of the year, Wednesday night as well, okay? I'm going to ask Jimmy, if you don't care, buddy, dismiss us in prayer.